Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 16. I have decided what to do so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, "Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. This is the text. Jesus' parable of the unrighteous manager, it's a challenging one to figure out when you just first read it. Here you have someone, Jesus begins with saying, he mismanages the property of his master, is being wasteful, gets fired, but before cleaning out his desk, he gives some of his master's property away, and the master commends him for his actions, for his shrewdness. Now, what's going on? That's not the way it works in the real world. Now, to view this parable from the viewpoint of the unrighteous manager, that only leads to confusion. We need to look at the parable from the Lord and Master's perspective. The manager was like any of us. Our Lord and Master has given us charge, has given us authority over people for which we are to look out for their best interests. He has made us stewards over the property and income that we are to use to his glory. Like the manager in the parable, we misuse what the Lord has given us. We spend our time dreaming of acquiring wealth or influence. We dream about how we can make, get ourselves to be above others, to impress our neighbors, keep up with the Joneses at least. And you see this all over. Classic story from my own family. My dad, when he was a kid in the summers, would come down to Iowa from Wisconsin and spend the summer with his aunt and uncle on the farm. And it was his mom's sister and husband. Well, his uncle had a brother. He also was a farmer, and the two of them were in constant competition. And one Sunday morning, my great uncle he rolled up the church in his brand new Buick. I just bought a brand new three-holer. Now, if you know anything about cars, you know what his brother rolled up the church in the week after that. Had a four-holer. That's how Buick, they designate their cars in that way. But this has been going on for a long time, and it still goes on. In the weeks to come, you will see people who will sleep outside overnight outside of an Apple store so they can get the brand new iPhone and have it before anyone else. Now, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with having a new car or a new iPhone. And the wealth that we have received from God, it is a gift from God. And he enjoys giving good things to his children. However, when these things that we acquire or the social status that we desire and acquire becomes a higher priority than God himself, then we are not being good stewards. When your primary focus is on yourself, this is a misapplication of the gifts of God. This is exactly what this manager was doing while he was working and even after he gets fired. And like that manager, we have been given one purpose in life: to serve our Lord and Master for his good, not our own. That's the nature of being a steward. However, we do receive benefit through, the byproduct of good stewardship. The stewardship of what God has given us, that we can be a benefit to others, ends up being a benefit to us. During his time of service, this manager, as bad of an employee as he was, he led a good, comfortable life. The problem was that the manager was a bad manager, a poor steward. He did not take care of the property of his master as he was instructed to do. He didn't use what his master had given him for the good of the master or for the good of others. He was wasteful. So the master calls him in and says, "What is this I hear about you? Turn in an account of your management. Tell me exactly how you have used the gifts I have given you." What if our Lord and Master came and said that to any of us? "Give me an account of your management." Well, he has said that to us. That's exactly what God's law does every moment of every day. So this manager, who is under the wrath and judgment of his master, deliberates about his future. And very typically, his first reaction is to approach the crisis from a human point of view. You know, our first inclination is always, "Oh, what can I do to get myself out of this mess that I've caused?" Well, actually, our first inclination is to say, "What can I do to get myself out of this mess I am in?" Because we don't like to assign blame to ourselves too quickly. But he soon realizes that neither digging nor begging is a suitable answer. Nothing within his power is going to solve the problem. As you're singing the first communion hymn, 555, "Salvation Unto Us Has Come," pay particular attention to verse 3, as it is very clearly is a reminder that, as the hymn writer says, it is a false, misleading dream that sinners could redeem themselves or work their way into heaven through the law of God. The purpose of the law is to crush us and to reduce us down to our proper status of complete helplessness, complete need of the mercy and grace of God as our only source of salvation. Like the prodigal son who was reduced to desiring to eat the pig's food upon being shown his sin and his now change of occupation, being basically cast out from the household of the master. This unrighteous manager hits bottom. And there's nothing he can do to save himself. There seems no escape. He can't work, and begging isn't going to do it either. Now, the manager's great insight into his dilemma is that he sees the only solution as being from outside of himself. His entire plan is based on his assumption that the master, always having been an honorable man, a merciful man, gracious and kind, will continue to be that way. So the manager works quickly and offers those who are in debt to the master some adjustments to their accounts so as to win their favor. Does it surprise you that those who are in debt to this master didn't question the changes that were made? The people in debt to the master are ready and willing to believe that this generosity comes from the master himself, because he is known to be honorable, merciful, gracious, generous, giving, taking care of those who are in need. They know that this master is one who has sacrificed of himself for the good of others and is always willing to do that. The community is dependent upon this generous, merciful Lord, and they have come to expect this sort of mercy from him. So when the manager adjusts the books, the people are not surprised. And the master, I mean, he now has two choices. He can change back and demand the full debt of what is owed him to be paid, or he can forgive that debt allow it to stand as a generous gift. For this master, this man of honor, this generous, merciful man, the choice is easy. It's the only choice, as he remains consistent with his generous, merciful character. And although this manager has been deceitful, wasteful of what he has been given, what was entrusted to him, even though this last act, as Jesus says, is an abomination in the sight of God, his master even commends the manager for acting shrewdly and managing his personal crisis by trusting in the character of his master and staking everything on the fact that he knows he is merciful and gracious and forgiving. We look at this and we see this is how God deals with his people. Now, Jesus is condemning the Pharisees and these lovers of money who were mismanaging the gifts that God had given them, the most treasured gift of the Word of God itself. But we also see ourselves in this story. We too misuse the property, the gifts, the time, all the things that our Lord has given us, all the things that we have been entrusted with, that we are stewards of. But we see our master is honorable, willing to be generous, merciful, forgiving, and even sacrifice in a way that is totally unfair to him. It was totally unfair that one man's bill was cut in half and the other one was reduced by 20%. Completely unfair that the master had to bear the burden of that debt, in the same way that it was totally unfair that Christ, our Lord, had to bear the burden of our debt. But like the manager in the story, we are right to stake everything on the mercy of our master. I am continually overwhelmed by the grace of God. Our Father in heaven loved his Son Jesus more than any earthly father could love a child. But in an act of sheer mercy, he was willing to send his Son to his death there on the altar of the cross, being that final lamb of sacrifice, so that he could cancel the entire debt of all of those who owed him more than we could ever pay. Our master has taken our account and has not merely cut it in half or by a fifth. But our master has taken our account, our debt, and has written in Christ's blood, paid in full. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.